Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's come to our attention here at the Electronic Cottage that the program's been getting a little prosaic in its choice of topics of late. We've been looking at lots of meat and potato stuff, like good internet sites for finding reference materials, or what to look for in a digital television set, or what having RFID chips in your passport may mean, or how the CAPS program has risen from the dead once again. With all this in mind, it's clearly time to discuss something a bit more esoteric to raise the overall tenor of the program. So today, let's take a look at power laws and their implications for whether you should put up a new web page or a personal weblog. Power is an interesting word in the English language. It can mean exercising control over something. Political power is an example. It can mean having the physical ability to exert force on an object, for example, to power an automobile, and the list goes on. For today's discussion, though, we're using power in the mathematical sense of a number raised to a power. So, for example, 2 to the second power is 2 times 2, which equals 4. 2 to the third power means 2 times 2 times 2, which is 8, and so on. Got it? Okay, so what does this have to do with the electronic realm? As it turns out, quite a lot. The World Wide Web, practically speaking, has been available to the general public for about a decade. At first, cyberspace seemed like a chaotic place. Anyone could put up a web page, anyone could link her web page to anyone else's, there was no particular order, and who knew how to find a specific web page in the midst of the ever-growing number of pages? It seemed like more or less a matter of random chance who would wind up at any particular website. But a funny thing happened over the past decade. Although there are well over a billion web pages on the World Wide Web, they don't all get the same number of visits or hits. Nor do the number of hits fall into the normal statistical distribution of a bell curve. You know, that sort of upside-down bowl with sloping sides. We often see it in diagrams that are trying to explain how population or test scores or IQ or whatever is normally distributed. You may remember back in high school hearing that a teacher, quote, marked on the curve, which simply meant that he or she assumed that marks would follow the normal distribution of a bell curve and adjusted your test score up or down accordingly in relation to the scores of everyone else in the class. Well, surprise, the bell curve does not apply on the web. What happens instead represents what's called a power law. In plain English, this means that sites that have large numbers of visitors are very rare, and sites that have very few visitors are extremely common. Think about the English language as an example of this phenomenon. Words like the or and are used incredibly often. In the middle ranks, a collection of common words like dog or car are used fairly frequently, but not nearly so often as the or and. Then there are a huge number of words like peripatetic or circumlocution that are used very rarely, at least in my circle of friends. If you ranked every word in English in terms of how many times it was uttered, you would find that a relatively few words would be uttered a very large number of times, a somewhat larger number were used less often, but still fairly often, and that the huge number of words, the great majority, would be uttered very seldom indeed. In fact, a linguist named George Zipf actually did this many years ago for English, and this phenomenon, as it applies to language, is called Zipf's Law. Well, back to the web. It turns out that the very same thing happens with web page visits. And this phenomenon can be described as a power law because if you graph the ranking of websites by the number of visits, the graph depicts a curve which indicates that very few sites get lots of visitors, a somewhat larger number get fewer but still a significant number of visitors, and the very great majority of those billion-plus web pages get almost no visitors. Here's a specific example using blogs. Blogs, as you probably know, are web logs, sites that individual people put up on the web to share their reflections about life and living. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of blogs, and you might imagine, since they all began equal, that they would have more or less the same average number of visitors. Nope. A fellow named Clay Shirky looked at the traffic on a sample of 443 blogs back in 2002. You can find this information and more on Power Laws at http://shirky.com. He observed that of the listed blogs, the top two sites accounted for 5% of the inbound links between them. The top dozen, which was less than 3% of the total, accounted for 20% of the inbound links. And the top 50 blogs out of 443, which is not quite 12%, accounted for 50% of such links. As you can see, there's no bell curve here, no normal distribution. Instead, we have what some call the rich get richer syndrome. Popular blogs, in this particular case, or web pages in general, become more and more popular because more people with limited time, which is most of us, tend to go to pages that others have already gone to. A phenomenon, by the way, that has a lot to do with the order in which web pages are listed in popular search engines like Google. Meanwhile, pages at the low end of the power law curve get only a very few visitors. You can often count the number on your fingers and toes, and are unlikely to attract very many more visitors. So, should you forget about starting your own blog or putting up your own web page? Not necessarily. But you will have a much more realistic notion of how many visitors you're likely to attract if you understand a bit about power laws. If you'd like to delve into the subject a little more deeply, try Clay Shirky's site, or Jakob Nielsen's at www.useit.com/alertbox/zipf.html. For a good brief description of power laws and a list of additional links, try www.kotke.org/03/02/weblogs-and-power-laws. Well, we hope this discussion takes care of our esoteric topic quotient for a while, and that we can return to the more mundane matters of the electronic realm on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.